Everyone has a limit, and he's reached his. This is Nick's Take, a new type of political talk show about the current status of our country, elected officials, and the rest of the world. He'll give you his take on it from an old school anarchist with common sense and a true Generation Xer. Nothing is said from a place of hate, but this is an uncensored show. So if you're easily offended, turn back now, cupcake. Here's your host, the one and only, Nick B.
Yes, yes, yes. It is time once again for what we like to call Nick's Take, which is a political show that deals with every political item you can think of. Typically, I tend to just give the business on U.S. politics, but I will divulge and talk about anything that is going on in the world. And this is episode 8. It is October 2nd, 2024. Right? We're on episode 8? Okay, just had to make sure. Because it was like, wait a minute, I remember editing episode 6 yesterday. Yes, because episode 7 was pretty easy. On yesterday's show, though, I was talking about how I did not like the escalation of what Israel was doing. I wasn't condemning Israel. I want to be clear. I will never condemn Israel for anything. But there's definitely, it's getting to a point where I'm questioning a lot of their motives. If you don't like that, you know, I mean no harm by it. It's just like, and I understand their message and why they don't want to stop, but at the same time, they've stopped before, so it's kind of getting to a point where it's like, okay, what are you doing now? And I'm starting to get a little bit worried when they start invading sovereign countries and doing things. And I said, this is going to escalate to something that we don't want. And then I get home, and that's exactly what happened. Iran launched a barrage of missiles into Israel, and they called them their supersonic missiles, which are harder for the Iron Dome to defend. Thanks, Barack Obama. Thanks, Joe Biden, for giving Iran the billions of dollars that it needed to develop those weapons. Thanks, Barack Obama, for letting Iran get the nuclear weapon, or more, work towards having a nuclear weapon, with sanctions that were on them that were removed and allowing Russia to give them the capabilities that they need so that they can destroy Israel. You two take credit for all of that because y'all did a good job on obliterating Israel, you miserable pricks. Joe Biden famously gave them something like $86 billion. I mean, he gave them a shit ton of money, and they worked so hard to tell you that he didn't give them any money. He just freed up their money. It's the same thing. It's the exact same thing. He removed the sanctions on Iran, and they were able to get a ton of our money that they immediately put into their weapons development and probably their nuclear development. So yesterday, and again, if you want to learn anything or find anything that I talk about, you can do that by going to nickstake.com. Under today's show notes, everything I talk about will be linked, and you'll be able to find everything that we talk about. So you can go to nickstake.com. Give me until later this afternoon to get it all up, because depending on how busy my day gets, sometimes it takes me a little longer, and it may take me until like 9 o'clock at night. Now, this particular story is just talking about how everything went off in Israel, and this comes from NBC News. U.S. officials have been anticipating a response from Iran following Israel's attacks on Hezbollah leadership last week. Iran launched ballistic missiles at Israel on Tuesday, causing sirens to sound all over the country, the Israeli Defense Forces said. Orange fire illuminated the sky over Israel as NBC News crews in both Tel Aviv and across the border in Lebanon viewed the apparent missiles being fired. Smaller streaks of light were also seen, appearing to come from Israel's aerial defense systems as it tried to ward off the attack. Booms were heard in video captured by NBC News, but it's unclear what those sounds erupted from clashing missiles in the air or from the Iranian missiles landing in Israel. Now, I also want to point out that right before these missile attacks happened, there was a mass shooting in Tel Aviv where about, I think it was last I heard, 6 people were shot and killed right before all of these missiles hit. Almost reminiscent to what happened to Israel back on October 7th, which we are about to come up on the anniversary of that. And here we are a year into it almost. And now Iran is actively bombing Israel. Approximately 180 missiles were fired towards Israel territory, or towards Israeli territory, the IDF said after the attack. No fatalities were reported, but Israel's emergency services said that it had treated two people with minor injuries caused by shrapnel. U.S. officials warned earlier in the day that Iran was prepping a ballistic missile strike targeting Israel, a senior White House official and a Defense Department official told NBC News on Tuesday. So the White House knew that they were going to do this. Did they inform Israel that this was going to happen? Because that seems like some stuff that Israel should have known. I'm sure Israel kind of had an idea of what was going to happen, but at the same time, you would think one of their strongest Western allies, if they got the information, should have told them. A spokesperson for the National Security Council and President Joe Biden had authorized the military to aid Israel's defense against Iran's attacks and to shoot down missiles targeting Israel. Jordan allowed U.S. forces to fly over its airspace to shoot down Iranian missiles, as U.S. official and a senior Jordanian official confirmed to NBC News. This is the problem that I have with what's going on with Israel, and it's not with Israel. It's with the United States, the people in D.C., and what I lovingly refer to as the war machine in D.C. The war machine in D.C. wants to go to war with Iran. They've been making that case since they took our embassy in the 70s. There has been a bloodlust to go to war with Iran since the 70s, since Iran had their revolution and became the country that it is today and the number one sponsor of terrorism in the world. So they want blood, and they've been trying to figure out how to do it. So I wouldn't doubt if American intelligence let October 7th happen in hopes that this would kick off a war that they can get involved with and ultimately go to war with Iran. Well, the problem is if we go to war with Iran, they have China and Russia as their allies. So we would effectively be going to war with Iran, China, and Russia. Not feeling too good about going to war with any of those countries with the current leadership that we have and the current low morale in my military. That just doesn't look good. The assault follows Israel's launching widespread attacks in Lebanon, including the killing of Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah and a ground invasion of the country's south. The United States has indications that Iran is preparing to immediately launch a ballistics missiles attack against Israel. We are actively supporting defensive preparations to defend Israel against this attack. A direct military attack from Iran against Israel would carry severe consequences for Iran. Iran is expected to target military and government sites, not civilians, the official said. Right. The country that screams death to Israel is only wanting to kill the government of Israel. That's rich. Officials say the expectations is that this could involve more firepower than Iran's attack on Israel in April, when hundreds of drones took hours to reach Israel, followed by some ballistic missiles. The number of ballistic missiles could be higher this time, the official said, and Iran could try to launch many missiles simultaneously to overwhelm air defenses. A spokesperson for Permanent Mission of the Islamic Republic of Iran to the United Nations had no comments on the reports from the White House of an impending attack on Israel. Of course not. You don't tell them what you're going to do. U.S. officials have been anticipating a response from Iran following Israel's attack on Hezbollah leadership last week, which the U.S. intelligence officials and analysts described as a devastating blow to Iran's proxy power in the region. Biden has been updated on Iran's possible... Biden? Are we still pretending that he's in charge? On Iran's possible attack on Israel and the overall situation in the Middle East over the last several hours, according to a senior White House official. White House spokesperson Emil Simons said in a post on X that Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris had met with the national security team regarding the attack and the attack threat. Why is the vice president doing it? She can't do anything, remember? The vice president can't do anything. Why is she meeting with anybody about anything? They reviewed the status of U.S. preparations to help Israel defend against attacks and protect U.S. personnel, Simmons said. Iran has signaled to the U.S. that it does not want a wider war, the official said. See, oh, people believe this shit. From the river to the sea, right? And Iran doesn't want a wider war. Right. Iran's new president, ooh, not even trying to say that. It looks like his last name is Pezhikhan. All right. Iran's new president, that's all you need to know, told reporters during a visit to New York for the United Nations General Assembly last week that Iran wants to live in peace, adding that the Islamic regime is not seeking war with Israel, yet they actively are trying to kill Jews. Like, are we still believing this shit? Like, I know y'all think, you know, Palestine needs to be free, and you think all this genocidal stuff about Israel, right? But do y'all believe a word that comes out of Iran's mouth? Because from everything I know and everything that I've seen, and even in my time in the military, Iran is pretty much that little shit on the playground that just needs to be obliterated. You know what I mean? Like, that's Iran in the world, if we're being honest. And then their goofy, inbred second cousin is North Korea. Those are the two idiots on the planet that I think are the ones that just want to watch everybody burn. Outside of them, I don't see anybody actively wanting to see people die. But I never believe Iran when they're like, we don't want the war. Yeah, you do. In fact, you're building up a whole arsenal to have war. You're just being strategic about it like Japan. Iranian president did lay the blame on Israel for escalating violence in the region, and his remarks came days before Israeli assassination of Nasrallah, an important ally. So that was the Hezbollah leader that they killed. In a post on X, Iran's president defended Iran's rights to attack against Israel and said it launched the missiles in defense of Iranian interests and citizens. He added that Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu should know that while Iran is not seeking a war, it will stand firmly against any threat. This is just a glimpse of our capabilities, he said in the post. Do not engage in conflict with Iran. See, here's the funny thing about that. What are Iran's interests in Lebanon? They don't have any other than Hezbollah. Iran last attacked Israel in April, launching hundreds of drones and missiles after a significant public buildup. It was a retaliatory attack following a strike on an Iranian consular building in Damascus, Syria, and the death of seven members of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. It took nearly 2 weeks for Iran to launch this attack, and the weapons used took hours to arrive in Israel, allowing the country and its allies to mobilize quickly. A ballistic missile from Iran could reach Israel in as short as 10 minutes, according to American Jewish Committee. Hezbollah began firing at Israel on October 8th in support of Hamas, which is also an Iranian proxy, and has been at war with Israel since October 7th terrorist attack, which killed 1,200 people. The group has been exchanging fire with Israel ever since, displacing tens of thousands of people on both sides of the Lebanese-Israeli border. Over the past few weeks, Israel has killed multiple members of Hezbollah's senior leadership in Lebanon, including Nasrallah, on top of detonating a number of sabotage communication devices carried out by members of the group. It caused fear and instability in what was once considered Iran's strongest proxy military or militia. Hezbollah was formed in 1980s in response to Israel's occupation of southern Lebanon as a Shia resistant militant group that gained domestic popularity by fighting Israel's presence in Lebanon until it left in 2000. But its leadership has also pledged its allegiance to Iranian supreme leader while billing itself as a group dedicated to Lebanese self-determination. Hezbollah has been a U.S. designated terrorist organization since 1997, according to the State Department. Hours before news broke of a potential attack from Iran, Israel announced a ground invasion of southern Lebanon on Monday night. The Israeli Defense Forces said in a statement that it was conducting a targeted ground raid on Lebanese villages along the border within northern Israel. Critics cast doubt on the deceptiveness or the descriptions of Israel's group operations as limited, recalling similar characteristics of the IDF operations in Rafah before the Gazan city was leveled. Others also remarked that Israel's 1982 invasion of Lebanon was supposed to be limited in nature, but Israel's military presence went as far as Beirut at one point. A spokesman for the Israeli military said Tuesday that a ground operation in Beirut is not on the table. We're talking about limited, localized, targeted raids based on precise intelligence in area near the border. He said Monica Alba is a White House correspondent for NBC News. Yeah, I don't care about all these correspondents, but you can read more about this. So basically, Iran is trying to convince the world that they don't want war. So all these low-informed, idiotic college kids that are screaming about death to Israel and that Israel is an apartheid state and that Israel is, you know, committing genocide and all this other lying shit. Iran wants everybody to say, oh, no, we don't want war. We don't want war. We don't want war. So when Israel fires back at them, Israel is who wants war. They're the warmongers. They're the ones that are war hungry. When all Israel has ever wanted to do is live in peace. In fact, Benjamin Netanyahu and just about every Israeli I know has famously said, if they quit firing rockets, Israel will quit. But Israel let up just a little bit and they were attacked by Iran. So I understand their need for doing everything. I just question the way that they do a lot of it. Because, again, we have all these international committees and all of these international agencies. And if we're going to have those, we need to use them and we need to respect them. And Israel is approaching a point where it doesn't look like it's respecting the international committees or communities to stop another Israeli attack. And while I don't think they have to, just like I don't think America has to, that is the diplomatic way to go. And yes, sometimes you get bit in the back if you do that. But at the same time, I think it's coming to a point where this stuff needs to stop because it's getting to a point where it's going to be a bigger escalation. Because again, Israel has said there will be no more blood spilled. No more Jewish blood will be spilled without retribution. So if anybody died, which they said right now, according to this, at the recording of this show, nobody had died from Iran's attacks. But I do want to point out, too, a lot of the video that I saw online about these so-called attacks that were only targeting military and government places, I saw a bunch of shops destroyed. Like, there were a bunch of, all of the video was, like, of these civilian areas. And unlike the Hezbollah militants and all of those people, Israel doesn't hide its stuff within city governments or you know, tightly where a lot of citizens are. That's what I'm trying to say. Israel doesn't do that. That's what Hezbollah does. So, just saying. So here are the five key takeaways from Iran's missile strike. We'll get to that in a minute. Before we get to that, Netanyahu says Iran will pay for missile attack. And this is coming from The Hill. And again, you'll be able to find all this up on nixtech.com. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Iran will pay for the 180 missiles launched towards his country on Tuesday. You see what I mean about it escalating? This is going to get to a point where it's going to get out of hand. It really is. However Israel retaliates is going to mark the next stage of this evolution. I 100% believe the reason the federal government of the United States is not getting involved in this any more than they already are is because they want the war to happen. Because if the war happens, we have to defend Israel. Although they're not a member of NATO, they do have a high rank within the NATO chapter. They've never granted them a NATO seat for obvious reasons, because Israel's always getting attacked. And I guess there was some kind of understanding between the two countries that they couldn't do it, but that America would always back Israel. I think that's coming to a point where we may actually have a president in the next few years that won't back Israel, because Kamala Harris and Joe Biden haven't come out to condemn anything like the missile attacks, again, at the time of this recording. And Kamala famously skipped out on Benjamin Netanyahu when he came to speak to our Congress. Instead, she went to a sorority party back in California. So Benjamin Netanyahu is now saying that they will pay for the 180 missiles launched towards his country on Tuesday. This evening, Iran made a big mistake, and it will pay for it. The regime in Tehran does not understand our determination to defend ourselves and to exact a price for our enemies. Netanyahu then referenced leaders of Hamas and Hezbollah, two militant groups backed by Iran, to underscore what he meant. The Israeli leader named Hezbollah chief Hezan Nasrallah, who was killed last week by an Israeli strike, and others who have been killed by Israel, writing, "They did not understand what Israel would do." Apparently, there are those in Tehran who do not understand this either, but they will, Netanyahu said. "We are fighting the axis of evil everywhere, including in southern Lebanon and Gaza, where our heroic soldiers are active." He later added, "Today, more than ever, the forces of light in the world must unite and work together against the Ayatollah's dark regime, which is the source of terror and evil in our region." Israel began carrying out ground operations Tuesday in search of the Iranian-backed militant group Hezbollah's top leaders. In his speech, Netanyahu promised to pursue all of Israel's enemies, especially those who have attacked the country. Quote, "On the eve of Rosh Hashanah, I say to you, citizens of Israel, Israel has the momentum and the axis of evil is in retreat. We will do whatever needs to be done to continue this trend," he said in his address. "To achieve all of our war objectives, especially the return of all of our hostages, and ensure our existence and our future." He later added, "A good and safe year to you all," Benjamin Netanyahu. And look, I know Benjamin Netanyahu may not be the best guy out there, but when it comes to defending his country, there is no better leader, in my opinion. And for him to, you know, all my life I've heard of Israel being attacked by either Hamas or Hezbollah. It's one or the other. Growing up, it was the PLO. You had all of these people that were launching these attacks against Israel, and it never seemed like Israel really ever did anything back. So, or if they did, it was like a limited, like, couple of day things, and then they stopped. This mission seems like it really wants to cripple the terrorist organizations so it doesn't have to worry about them for quite some time. And that's commendable that a leader is willing to do that regardless of international pressure and regardless of the fact that many people in America don't like what he's doing. Like, again, there are constant protests on school campuses that hate what he's doing. And I've never seen that. Now, there's always been pockets of people, you know, speaking out against Israel, but now there's a ton of them. Like, it's all over Twitter. Like, the people that are on Twitter that are championing the fact that Israel was hit by missiles. What are we doing? We're not supposed to applaud when things like that happen. They only do that to two countries, United States and Israel, because the United States has been the strongest defender of Israel. I think that's going to be changing here soon. And those of you that believe in the Bible, that's going to be a pretty biblical prophecy there for you. So here are the five takeaways from the Middle East conflict that's going on. Again, this says no deaths in Israel were immediately assessed. And this is coming from The Hill. Let's see, where does it actually get into the points? Because it's kind of rehashing everything we were just talking about. Israel vows revenge, which I just read that. Shortly after the attack ended, Israel vowed retribution with Israeli defense spokesperson Daniel Haggari declaring that the attack will have consequences. "We have plans. We will act at the time and place of our choosing," he said. Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu later said Iran will pay for the missiles launched in his country. "This evening, Iran made a great mistake and will pay for it," Netanyahu said during a security cabinet meeting. The regime in Tehran, I already read that from the other story, and Israeli former Prime Minister Bennett said his country should quickly attack Iran's nuclear program and wipe out Tehran's terrible threat to the Middle East. "Israel has now its greatest opportunity in 50 years to change the face of the Middle East," he said, pressing Netanyahu to hit Iran's energy facilities, to strike the head of the octopus of terror while the octopus's tentacles are temporarily paralyzed. Israel has already begun limited ground operations in Lebanon in search of Hezbollah top leaders. In his speech, Netanyahu promised to pursue all of Israel's enemies. Israel has the momentum and the axis of evil is in retreat. We will do whatever needs to be done to continue this trend, as I just said. The U.S.'s response, the United States appeared eager to tamp down regional tensions following the attack, even as it stressed that Iran's actions warranted severe consequences, saying, quote, obviously, this is a significant escalation by Iran, a significant event, and it qualifies equally significant. Oh my God, is this Kamala talking? It's a significant escalation, a significant event, and it's equally significant. I think we found who's writing Kamala's speeches, if this ain't her saying it. It is equally significant that we were able to step up with Israel and create a situation in which no one was killed in this attack in Israel. So far as we know at this time, Sullivan told reporters. I don't know who Sullivan is. We are now going to look at what the appropriate next steps are to secure, first and foremost, American interests and then promote stability to maximize extent possible, to the maximum extent possible as we go forward. President Biden reiterated Sullivan's comments, attributing the defeated and ineffective attack to Israeli military capabilities. The U.S. military and intensive planning between Washington and Israel, stressing his administration's unwavering support for its ally. Vice President Harris, who monitored the strike developments from the White House Situation Room, oh my God, really? Would it really? With Biden, condemned the attack unequivocally and called it reckless and brazen. She also pledged to always ensure Israel can defend itself and that her commitment to security of Israel is unwavering. Right. That's why you didn't even want to hear the man speak, right? Because you couldn't just avoid the sorority party. Like, the sorority party is more important than hearing Netanyahu speak. We know exactly why you skipped the meeting. Or skipped him talking to Congress. You skipped it because you don't want that portion of the Democrat Party, which is the extreme party, which currently hates Jews and Israel's existence, to not vote for you. So everything you're saying now is to try and get those moderate Jews to think that you're actually going to give a shit about Israel, when most of us with a brain know you don't. Outside the administration, U.S. lawmakers called for a swift response, including Senator Lindsey Graham. He said, quote, this missile attack against Israel should be the breaking point, and I would urge the Biden administration to coordinate an overwhelming response with Israel, starting with Iran's ability to refine oil. Because that's where their money comes from. Rep. Jared Mazowski wrote on X that Iran made a mistake and that it has put its nuclear facilities on board as fair game. All right. Again, this is ramping up, people, and it ain't looking good. Trump rips Biden and Harris. So these are, again, the five takeaways. So we've done two, I believe, and this would be the third. And then I skipped the first one because it was just a rehash of everything that I just read about what has happened. Former President Trump quickly took to social media to blame the Biden administration for the attacks, claiming it would not have happened on his watch. It could have. Look at the world today. Look at the missiles flying right now in the Middle East. Look at what happened with Russia-Ukraine. Look at inflation destroying the world. None of this happened while I was president, he wrote on Truth Social. In a statement released shortly thereafter, he lambasted Biden and Harris for what he referred to as a lack of leadership and claimed that when he was in the White House, Iran was in total check. Quote, the world is on fire and spiraling out of control. We have a non-existent president in Joe Biden and a completely absent vice president, Kamala Harris, who was too busy fundraising in San Francisco, a city which she and Gavin Newsom, totally destroyed and staging fake photo ops. Harris is in Washington at the time of the attack and had no campaign events scheduled on Tuesday. Later, while speaking at a campaign event in Wisconsin, Trump repeated his doomsday language, saying, quote, I've been talking about World War III for a long time, and I don't want to make predictions because they've always come true, but they are very close to a global catastrophe. This is what I want to avoid. I'm not saying Trump is right. I'm talking about the escalation that is happening in the Middle East. We have nobody saying, hey, y'all need to stop. Jordan's not coming out and doing it. Egypt's not coming out and doing it. Syria's definitely not going to do it because they've been attacked by Israel. Lebanon's not going to do it now because Israel's attacking Hezbollah in Lebanon. So who's going to be the one that comes? China ain't going to do it, and Russia's not going to do it. They want war because they will be able to go to war with the United States. Because here's a little tidbit for you. While all this was happening in Israel, do you know China and Russia warships are parked right off the coast of Alaska? And they showed up hours before the Iranian missile attacks happened? Yes, I know some of them have been there for a while. But now we've got legit battleships outside our coastline. And yes, it happened down closer to Florida when they were docking in Cuba for surveillance missions. But they're making a move. So you're not going to see China or Russia being diplomatic about it. And excuse me, historically, both of those countries has hated anything Israel has ever done. Which is why, for the life of me, I can't understand why we granted China a permanent seat on the UN Council, nor why we allowed Russia to join. They're not the ones that seek peace. They specifically seek the destruction of the United States, just like Iran. That's why they partner with Iran. And Trump is right. Under his watch, the sanctions were working because the dollar was strong. The dollar's no longer strong. We're losing our edge to be able to sanction countries because Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have weakened it. They've allowed BRICS to be created. We're still 20 years away, give or take, from BRICS being able to take over the dollar and its place in the world. But when you have oil companies that produce oil like OPEC saying that they will now trade in any dollar or any country's currency, that's a big deal. It weakens the dollar, which weakens our ability to be diplomatic about things, and it's going to cause way more wars in the future because when these people start acting up, we're going to have to go to war with them. He later said the Iran attack happened because other nations don't respect our country anymore, using an often repeated line of attack on Biden and Harris, claiming the pair are weak on foreign policy and suggesting that he has led to more conflict. So, I mean, Trump is on point with some of the stuff he's saying. Ceasefire talks in tatters. The Biden administration may be hard-pressed to now broker a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas in Gaza and a ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah in Lebanon in the wake of Tuesday's events. Washington, which has for months attempted to have Israel and Hamas reach agreements to end the devastating war in Gaza, last week was unsuccessful in a scramble to secure a deal between Israel and Hezbollah to stop fighting. Well, here's the point about that deal. It didn't do anything for Israel. It did everything for Hezbollah. Israel wasn't about to give up and let them start attacking them again. And that's pretty much what Joe Biden's administration wanted. They basically wanted Israel to stop everything. And they were going to kind of condemn Israel on what they were doing. And they weren't really going to do that to Hezbollah or Hamas. They were just like, no, Israel is who's going to be punished, not you guys. We'll put Israel in the corner. And then they have the nerve to come out and say that they support Israel. Go and read what they offered in terms of their ceasefire, because Israel didn't get anything out of it. And Israel was like, no, we're not going to agree to this, nor should they, because it was a bullshit thing to begin with. At the time, Secretary of State Blinken warned that diplomacy was the best option to avoid a full-blown war in the region. But Israel has instead ignored the U.S. efforts and pressed forward, aware it has Hezbollah on the back foot in wiping out much of its leadership. Yeah, good for them. Rip that head right off of the snake. Bearing the conflict soon coming to an end via diplomacy, the U.S. military has positioned a large amount of assets in the Middle East, including an aircraft carrier strike group, a guided missile submarine, additional Navy ships, and fighter jets. On Monday, the Pentagon announced it was sending even more troops and aircraft to the region. Several U.S. lawmakers, meanwhile, including Senator Bernie Sanders, still pushed for a ceasefire deal, arguing that for months, Leaders in both Israel and Iran have chosen to escalate tensions rather than pursue diplomatic solutions. He said, quote, "They have pushed us to the brink of a wider and more disastrous war. The U.S. must now forcibly demand to end the hostilities. A ceasefire for hostage deal remains the key to resolving the wider conflict that could stop escalatory cycle and the bombing and the rocket attacks and allow displaced people to return to their homes sooner." While I understand diplomacy is the only thing that is going to end this, I also believe the only thing that's going to end it is if Israel destroys everybody that was involved or has ever been involved in trying to do anything to hurt a Jewish citizen to any degree, at any level. So you kind of have a double-edged sword there. Coffee break. Now, the things that are wanting to happen is the GOP is trying to give Biden crap for not being tougher on Iran, and they kind of have a point, but I don't see what they're going to be able to do to Iran. Because, again, the dollar has been weakened and sanctions aren't really going to do anything, especially when Russia and China are still able to bail Iran out of any trouble from the sanctions that the United States may give them anyway. But this is coming from The Hill again, and this says GOP leaders press Biden administration to get tougher on Iran after missile attack. Republican leaders on Capitol Hill are calling on President Biden to get tougher on Iran in the wake of Tuesday's missile attack on Israel, urging the administration to adopt a series of specific measures designed to cripple the military powers of Tehran and its proxies. In a series of speeches, statements on social media posts, the top Republicans in both chambers pressed the president to adopt a combination of new penalties on Iran, both financially and militarily, while escalating the military aid Washington provides to Israel. The GOP leaders suggested the absence of those measures had emboldened Tehran to launch Tuesday's attack. They're kind of right, and I hate to side with the GOP. Saying, quote, "The Biden administration has repeatedly threatened Iran with severe consequences for its campaign of terror against Israel and the United States, but failed to impose them," Senator Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said in a statement. Continuing, "It has pledged ironclad support for Israel, only to delay and withhold security assistance that would give this pledge any weight. It is not enough to issue statements." He said, behind Speaker Mike Johnson, House GOP leaders offered a similar assessment, urging the Biden administration to exert a maximum pressure on Tehran to include the strict enforcement of existing sanctions, with Republicans accusing Biden of failing to do. "It is hypocritical for the administration to express support for Israel's defense while continuing to appease the Iranian regime with billions or hundreds of billions of dollars, actually in sanction relief," Johnson said Tuesday during an economic speech at the New York Stock Exchange. "We need a maximum pressure campaign on Iran and its terror proxies. President Biden needs to make clear that there will be decisive economic and potentially military ramifications for these actions." See? This is why I don't want to side with the GOP. They're starting to ramp up military response to what Iran has done. They're slowly putting the seed out there. Hey, we're telling you, if you don't slow down, the United States military is coming for you. See, they're dropping the hints right now. Michael McCollum, chair of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, was more specific, calling on the administration to send more powerful weapons to Israel and adopt his legislation, the 21st Century Peace Through Strength Act, which applies new financial and travel restrictions on anyone associated with Iran's missile programs. He said, quote, "We need to expedite arms transfers to Israel that this administration has delayed for months, including 2,000-pound bombs, to ensure Israel has the tools to deter these threats. The administration also needs to utilize all of the sanction authorities we have to cut off resources to Iran and its proxies," end quote. Iran launched a barrage of missiles at Israel on Tuesday, which we've already said. That's pretty much a recap of everything from that. And while he has a point, I just don't see how the sanctions are really going to have that big of effect on anything. And while I know a lot of you that may be watching this are looking for me to give you my opinion on the VP debates last night, which aired again, that would have been Tuesday, October 1st. Today's Wednesday. I didn't watch them. And from all the news that I read when I woke up this morning, there wasn't too much that changed in the wake of things anyway, except they did kind of, they promised they weren't going to live check or fact check live the candidates, and they did it to J.D. Vance, which is Trump's running mate. And there, no surprise there. So nothing really changed. They said that Tim Walz looked like he was like frayed and stumbled a few times, like he was really nervous or whatever. And again, I'm going to echo my sentiment that Tim Walz is a communist and is a puppet of the Chinese government. So I have no respect for him anyway. I can't. When you tell your own police to shoot citizens because you instituted an unconstitutional lockdown order, granted they were shooting them with paintballs, but again, they shot them. Under order from Tim Walz. Yeah, I'm not going to watch anything that blowhard's got anything to do with. So that's why we're talking more about what happened on Israel. And if I cover the debates at all, it will be on Afterthoughts with a Cigar that I usually do on the back of my porch after I get home and after I get some time to do that. So I'll probably go over it then. But all of this that's going on in the world right now and the hatred that's going on for Israel at home seems to be ramping up. I'm going to try and talk about Candace Owens a little bit more on Afterthoughts today as well. But there's huge amounts of hatred going on for Israel right now. There's huge amounts of hatred going on for Jews. I'm not one of those people. I will never be one of those people. Now, I do feel we should question some things, and I don't think questioning things makes us anti-Semitic. I think that that's allowed within the realm of possibilities of things that we should be able to do. We should question some of their actions, but at the same time, recognize that they have every right to respond however they want. But anti-Semitism is on the rise in the country, and many would argue it may be because of a lot of the migrants that are coming here that have a different opinion of Jews because of their country and their own upbringing. Case in point, an anti-Semitic attacker who targeted two Jewish men in New York City is indicted and then cut loose because of prosecutors. An anti-Semitic attacker who allegedly targeted two Jewish men back-to-back on the Upper West Side over the summer was indicted for the crimes and then promptly cut loose in court, prosecutors said. Miles Utz, 31, is accused of attacking the pair at West 86th Street and Amsterdam Avenue on June 16th, all while yelling, "Free Palestine," the Manhattan District Attorney's Office said. He first threw two glass bottles at a 25-year-old man and hurled anti-Semitic slurs at West 86th Street and Amsterdam Avenue, the DA said. And here's a picture, and this is coming from the New York Post. Here's a picture of the lovely little terrorist there, the lovely little anti-Semite that hates Jews. The victim who wore a yarmulke managed to back away, and the bottle shattered on the ground. A crowd formed, including a 74-year-old yarmulke-wearing man who Utz then targeted, spitting on him, officials said. A sickening video of the latter part of the confrontation was posted on X. I think I saw this on the Stop Anti-Semitism page on X, which captures the man charging towards the senior. The Jewish man tells the aggressor to get the hell away from me as bystanders put his arm out between the pair and tells him to walk away. But Utz, who had a bandage on his right hand, walks around the bystander and spits on the older man, the video shows. The group of New Yorkers surrounded the alleged anti-Semite, alleged, it's proven, and shout at him to leave while one man places his hand on the victim's shoulder. How are you feeling? How are you freeing Palestine right now? Said one of the bystanders confronting Utz, according to the clip. All you're doing is harassing people. Utz, whose last known address is in Mentor, Ohio, was arrested on July 25th, according to cops. He was arrested in Ohio, or he's supposedly from Ohio. The fuck is he doing in New York? He was arraigned Monday on a New York State Supreme Court indictment charging him with attempted assault in second degree as a hate crime, criminal possession of a weapon, and second degree aggravated harassment, police said. But they also let him go after all of that. Clearly, his last known address is in Hawaii, so what the hell is he doing in New York, and where did he go after you let him go? Do you even know where he is now? I doubt it. None of those charges are bail eligible. The DA's office requested supervised release, which Judge Laura Ward granted, prosecutors said. Okay, imagine if this was flipped around. Let's just say for a second that it was a black man that was attacked by a white man and they were hit with a hate crime. Do you think that white man would be able to be free from jail and walking around? Even though they just said right now, none of these charges are bail eligible. And the DA's office requested supervised release. I don't think so. Utz was ordered to stay away from the victims, and his next court appearance is set for January 13th, online records show. Utz has no prior arrest in the Big Apple, police said. As alleged, Miles Utz attacked two strangers in anti-Semitic incidences just minutes apart. Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg said in a statement, that guy's a piece of work. This alleged conduct is unacceptable. Yeah, but your policies allow it to continue. And we will continue working closely with our law enforcement partners to help hold accountable who target Manhattanites in hate-based acts of violence. I don't think so, because you didn't do it. During this time of increased threats and acts of violence against Manhattan's Jewish community, I encourage anyone who believes they have been a victim of a hate crime to call 911 or report it to our office's hate crime units at 212-335-3100 so we can arraign them and then send them back out on your street so that they can come harass you some more. Now, you can order people to stay away from somebody all you want, but if you've ever heard or watched or read a book about domestic violence and restraining orders, it's only a piece of paper. And the police never get there on time. So, I don't know what to tell you. The DA is like, we won't let this happen. But we did just let this guy go without bail and just turn him loose on the streets, hoping he shows up back in January. And we hope that he doesn't do anything else to the Jewish community. They're full of shit. The Jews have been some of the most targeted people in the world. And I'm not talking about the Holocaust and Hitler. There's a lot of stuff with that I'm reading and looking into where it looks like a lot of that may not be truthful. I'm still looking into it, and I'm not going to give my opinions on it until I have been well studied of it. But there are some things to that we got to look into. I don't dispel it. I don't say that it didn't exist, but there are some issues with the current story on it. For instance, the whole thing that the Catholic Church helped Nazis get away. The Red Cross and the Catholic Church helped a bunch of war crime criminals from the Nazi Party get away. That's one piece of thing that I've learned, and I'm learning way more about it as I continue. Now, the last thing we're going to talk about is this despicable act from the New York Times. Again, this is coming from the Post as well. The New York Times is openly weeping for Hassan Nasrallah, shows how deep media rot runs. So we're supposed to be an ally to the Jewish state. We're supposed to be an ally to the Jews. That's pretty much what we guaranteed when we freed them during World War II from Hitler's gas chambers. We said we weren't going to allow that to happen. Most other countries agreed. Countries like France and the UK and Greece and some of these other places that agreed with us. And then some of those countries have pulled back on what they've said. So America is really one of the last allies that Israel has. The article discusses the New York Times controversial portrayal of Hassan Nasrallah, the former Hezbollah chief, as a gifted orator and a proponent of equality. The article criticizes the Times for its suggests that Nasrallah was a terrorist and a Holocaust denier. The article also notes that Nasrallah's death was celebrated by many people in Lebanon and Syria. I don't know if it means this article, the one that I'm reading, or what, but terror master Hassan Nasrallah is dead at the hands of the heroic IDF, and the New York Times is very upset. Per the paper's simpering posthumous piece on the former Hezbollah chief, killed in a daring airstrike on the headquarters of his murderous Karad, Nasrallah was a gifted orator who maintained that there should be one Palestine with equality for Muslim, Jews, and Christians. They're so full of shit. They're actually, the New York Times is actually trying to tell people that Hezbollah, who is chanting from the river to the sea, Palestine shall be free, which means from the river to the sea, they're going to cover the land of blood of Jews. And you expect me to believe that this nutbag that Israel just took out wanted Christians to be over there? You're out of your damn mind. The New York Times has lost any and all credibility. And again, all of this will be linked up under show notes on nickstake.com. The piece headline ran, "Protesters mourn Nasrallah's death around the world." That echoed the Washington Post's equally disturbing piece praising Nasrallah for transforming Hezbollah into a potent regional force and portraying him as a cuddly and beloved religious leader. These people are on acid. Who's next? A reprisal of Adolf Hitler over his oratorical gifts, Benito Mussolini, and his train schedule improvements? more from the Post editorial board. Maybe a panini to the elitarian Desiree of Pol Pot? The unshakable faith of Jim Jones? Look, we get that the Times, the other Post, and much of the rest of the media have turned deeply anti-Israel, with much of the audience hungry for terra apologia, but Nasrallah was as bad as they get. A bought and paid for satrap of Iran's regional hemorrhage project, a blood-spattered, terror-dealing, anti-Semitic Holocaust denier. He spent decades conducting terror operations against Jews in Israel and around the world, all while doing his level best to force Lebanon's political and social life to submit to his own twisted worldview. By lionizing Nasrallah, these U.S. outlets are glossing over the fact that he was widely feared and hated by Muslim Arabs as well. Remember, his terror army served as the shock troops for Bashar al-Assad's Syrian war, and Nasrallah's death saw free Syrians burst into spontaneous celebration. Much of Lebanon cheered too. The Tears for Hassan piece ran without a byline, proof that Times insiders know this effort to paint Nasrallah as a martyred good guy is as suspicious as it is obscene. And this is, again, just little bits of proof of the hatred that is going towards Jews. You won't hear of any posts praising anybody else that is attacked in the planet. Only Jews. And they do it because they want to condemn everything that the Jewish state stands for. And that's something that I just can't see myself ever getting behind. Because, again, I don't support Jews or Israel because of some religious faction. I don't support them for any other fact other than they have been some of the most targeted people in the history of the world. And you can say, yeah, there have been other races that have been targeted, but not to the level of the Jews or the Israelis or the Israelites. And what Candace Owens said about Jews, I think, is completely despicable. And I think Andrew Tate regurgitating what she said is equally reprehensible. And they do it based on some of these misguided things, which there is a 15-page letter from one of the most respected Jewish men in media, Dennis Prager, where he breaks down every bit of Candace's hateful rhetoric towards Jewish people. Excuse me, towards Jewish people. And hopefully I will be able to discuss that on Afterthoughts today when I get home a little later, because that's it for today's show. I will say, I hope peace comes to the Middle East, and I hope God keeps his hand on Israel, because I want Israel and all of the Jews to live freely. It is the only democracy in the Middle East. If you don't see that, then you're buying into the hype that the terrorists are telling you about. Now, I understand, because I have some family members that have ties to Lebanon. I understand where some of the hatred comes from. I'm not saying it's misguided, but I am saying full-blown hatred for Israel and chanting things like from the river to the sea means you want the blood of Jews, not just the military, the Israeli military, and not just the Israeli government. You want the bloods of Jews to cover the lands so that you can have your utopia of whatever in the Middle East. I don't want that. I want the democracy to stay there. I want the democracy to spread, if we're being honest. And with that, that is today's show. Again, I will talk a little bit more on Afterthoughts with a cigar. It'll probably be a lengthy one today. Yesterday's was pretty lengthy. I think it was about 25 minutes or something like that. I do post those on YouTube, but in case YouTube ever takes them down, we put them up on Nick B TV, where you can watch and rewatch any episode of this for free. You can go to nickbtv.com, or again, go to nickstake.com. Everything we talked about today will be under show notes. I'll link to everything, and I will embed the Nick B TV video so that you can see everything. It takes me a little time to download the videos and upload them, because sometimes our system lags a little bit. So as soon as I have the videos, I will upload them and have everything up under show notes on nickstake.com. But for now, that's going to do it for me. Hug and love each and every day, because you never know when the good Lord will call them home. For every dark night, there's always a brighter day, and life is just a party, and parties weren't meant to last. I'll see y'all tomorrow in another edition of Nick's Take. But for now, y'all be good.
Wow, that was something. The proceeding was produced by Nick B Entertainment. All rights reserved. Don't even think about using any portion of the show without the express written consent of Nick B Entertainment. We'll get you. To learn more, subscribe, or to see what the hell we're up to, visit www.nickbnation.com. Y'all be good, and we'll see you next time.